Hello, and welcome to this episode of Self-Made. I'm your host, D. Brown, CEO. Joining me on the program today is Global Real Estate Advisor, Andre Riley. Welcome to the program, Andre. Glad to have you.
Glad to be here, D. Thanks for having me.
Oh, man, no problem. The pleasure is all mine. So we're going to jump right into the program. So, Andre, just to kind of frame everything up, talk to me about your childhood. Where did you grow up and what was your early years like?
Early years, grew up in Greenville, South Carolina. It's just one of those situations where you don't realize what you don't have. You're just, you know, living and growing. Major inspiration from my grandmother and my mother. My mother ended up, you know, being the first in our family to go to Clark College, which it was in the 60s. Uh-huh. So that's my HBCU tie-in. And I was supposed to follow her there, but ended up going a different route. But just great family, great support, a lot of motivation and inspiration just growing up there.
Were there any particular challenges that you faced as a youth growing up in Greenville?
Lots of challenges. At that time, you know, it didn't seem to be there too much of opportunities outside of manufacturing. There seemed to be a limit as to how far you could go as an African-American at that time. But I always thought outside of the box and just kind of was going to blaze my own path and take some risks. A lot of people where I come from, you know, they never really took that jump. And right. I was all about taking that jump, go out and see. I said, this world here is going to always be here for me to come back to. So why not go out and explore and see the world and travel and have different experiences? But I wanted to leave, but I always knew that I could come back.
Right, right, right. So what about high school? What was high school like in Greenville?
Athletic, football, you know, basketball, JV quarterback. I think at that time being involved in athletics really put you in kind of like a group that didn't expose you to some of the other things that were going on in the area.
Yeah.
And I was protected a little bit. Guys in my neighborhood, they were just like, there's something different about him. He's going to do something different than what everybody else has done. So they protected me from, you know, the drug game and the illegal activities going on. I was kind of protected by them. And I'm so thankful that, you know, they saw something even in me at that early age that I didn't even know I had them in me.
Right, right. So talk to me about your journey from high school. What's your next move after high school?
Well, my mom wanted me to go to Clark College, and I just felt like I was not ready. And I felt like I was a little bit of a late bloomer. And I said, you know what? I'm going to try this. I want to go in the military. I want to go into the Navy. I want to be in the dental field to kind of prepare me for becoming a dentist, which was my ultimate goal. And my parents did not support me on that, and they would not sign me up early. So when I had my 18th birthday, I was able to sign up on my own. So I did at that time what was called a 3x3, 3 years active, 3 years reserve in the Navy. And uh-huh. Part of my reason for doing that is it was going to give me $100,000 for college.
Okay.
So I did that. And, you know, then Desert Storm happens all of a sudden, you know, and I'm like, oh, my God, you know, that hadn't been a war in 20 years. And
right.
So be it. It happens when I'm, you know, we were in and out of the Red Sea when I was on the USS Saratoga, which was an aircraft carrier. And on the evening of December 23rd, 1990, several of my shipmates were lost in an accident off of Haifa, Israel, when we were in Liberty. 21 members of my ship died in a ferry accident that night.
Wow.
It was so ironic. So ironic that ferry that left, that capsized, D, it was right in front of me. And I was trying to get onto that boat, but it was so full. It said, you have to wait. So me and my buddies, we had to wait, and we saw that ferry drift off. And after that, my life kind of changed forever. And one of the things of losing friends like that in that way at that young age, it really motivated me even more to say, if there's something you want to do in life, you better go do it.
Right, right. So how did the being in the military help shape you into the man you are today?
I think, you know, taking risks and hard work, that was really something that started in my childhood. I think back to seeing my grandmother go work, and she would clean houses on the weekend. I don't know if you're familiar with that type of a situation.
My grandmother, my grandmother did the same thing. That was her full-time job. Yeah.
And I'm sure they paid her well.
Right, exactly.
But and then to find out many years later, D, that, you know, and sometimes my grandmother would take me with her, that for that whole day of work, ironing, cleaning, $10. They would pay her $10. And I'm like, wow, this is wow. And so this kind of fueled me throughout my life and has been motivational for me. That even when I started my fitness career and, you know, getting paid very well, on days when I was tired and didn't want to do it, I think back to my grandmother about how many days did she not want to go clean that house for $10? And here I am in a position because of her to make 10, 20, 30 times that for 1 hour of like training when I jumped into the fitness industry. So it's just, you know, having support from family and relatives, it's always allowed me to take risks and move forward.
Yeah.
And be that example.
Hey, I want to just take a step back to the day that the ferry capsized and you lost a number of friends in that particular incident. What do you remember about that day and that moment when that happened?
You don't forget. You really don't forget, because one of my Navy buddies, we often discuss this even to this day. What would have happened to us if we had not gone back and gotten a extra beer on Liberty? Because that was basically what we did. It was like, we're going to, you know, have one more beer. And we could have been on that ferry. And I don't know. I mean, I was I think a below average swimmer. But, you know, it was pretty traumatic. I mean, pretty traumatic to, you know, see those names even now. And it's emotional to take you back, you know, 30 years, you know, to that night. And it was just unbelievable. That ferry was, you know, took off and just kind of drifted off into the dark. You know, This was like midnight. And then the ferries, for whatever reason, you know, they run a rotation and they drop off and they pick up.
Right.
And so we're sitting there waiting. It should only be 5 minutes for the next ferry to come around to pick you up, to take us back to the ship. And we're sitting there for 20, you know, 30 minutes. And then we see, I remember the lights on the aircraft carrier lit up. And I said, oh, something's definitely wrong, you know, now.
Yeah.
And it was very, really, really sad and somber. A day that you just don't forget.
Right. Now, I had a similar experience my freshman year of college. A group of guys were going to go out to a nightclub. And they wanted me to park my car and ride with them. But I was insistent that if I was going to ride with them, I had to sit in the front seat. I didn't want to sit in the back in between two people. And so I couldn't get the seat. So I said, well, you know what? You guys go ahead on. I'm not going. And someone opened fire on that vehicle that evening. And the person that was sitting in the seat I wanted was shot in the head and killed. So I've had one of those, you know, life-changing moments and just wonder, like, wow, how did I dodge that particular bullet, no pun intended, in that particular instance. So I feel you on that one. When you ended your military career. What was your next journey in life?
Next journey was to, all right, now I'm ready for college. Let's go. Yes. And I ended up at Georgia State, pre-dentistry major. My kids now often kind of joke with me and say, like, Daddy, so what type of football team that, you know, you have at your college? And I said, Daddy's school at the time did not have a football team. At that time, Georgia State in the 90s did not have a football team. So being a older kind of like college student starting at 21, I kind of did not have a traditional kind of college experience. But the AAU Center in Atlanta was always there. So when you go to Georgia State, you hang out at Spelman, you hang out at Morehouse, you hang out at Clark Atlanta.
Right.
So you do have that experience. And at that time there was, you know, a classic Battle of the Bands and so many different activities in Atlanta that you could just feel the city on the rise. And it came to be the music capital of the world. For us, I think, from what was accomplished in the 90s with music. So, you know, I'm in this little bit of a pickle. I started to kind of get into the fitness game just through, you know, wanting to take care of my body. And I started training music groups for videos at the time. This was like when there was a rise of the videos. You know, I was doing that and I was like, man, you know, my family was kind of against me. You don't need to be, you know, doing fitness. It wasn't that popular at the time. You need to focus on, you know, going to dental school. You'll never make any money in fitness. That's just a side business. And so I was motivated to kind of prove them wrong. But I thought to myself, if you're going to take this to the next level, you need to go to Miami or like California. That's where I saw fitness being taken kind of seriously, where people took care of their bodies. And in the year 2000, with about 5 years of praying and kind of like, I want to say acknowledgement or confirmation from the man above, I decided to move to Southern California in 2000 and really jump into my fitness career. And it just, it exploded after that. I did a TV show called Fear Factor in the early 2000s. That led to another TV show called Workout, which is where I was playing a trainer. And it's like, oh my God, how crazy is this that I'm on going to be on a TV show playing a trainer? I mean, it doesn't get any easier than that. So, and then that led me to, you know, having a celebrity clientele and charging and, you know, being able to be in a position to make hundreds and hundreds of dollars doing something that people kind of laughed at me in you know, the mid 90s saying, you'll never make money, you know, in that business. And I said, well, somebody is making money in this business, but started at $15 an hour and then ended up, you know, training celebrity families and clients for, you know, a lot more than what I started with.
Right. So how do you make this transition from fitness to being a global real estate advisor? What piqued your interest in real estate?
Well, I've always wanted to be of service. And I think, you know, after doing this and being very successful at it, being in fitness for 20 years, I wanted to try something else, but I still needed to be of service. I still need to be in a situation or a workforce where people would, there's some gratitude to it in a reasonable amount of time. Unlike my, you know, grandfather who worked at GM for, I don't know, 30, 40 years, and they gave him the little Seiko watch at the end, and that was it, you know. And I thought, you know what? Real estate, you know, I can work with people, have personal contact. Some can be 45 days. Other can be lifelong friendships that can be made. I have a strong existing clientele base to kind of pull from of people in the fitness world that trust me. And now how do I transition to this and, you know, create that same trust and be the same person that I am, that's made me successful throughout my life. And it was kind of seamless. It was kind of seamless and not something that I pushed. You know, when I was with my fitness clients, if they had a question about, you know, real estate, I would say, oh, this is my opportunity.
Right.
And so it's been great and refreshing. And to be with a national, international brand that's in 81 countries, Sotheby's International Realty, it's amazing. It's just right up my alley. And having a brand behind you like that allows me to just go out into the world and just meet people and be myself.
Yeah. Now I'm going to backtrack for just a second, because you mentioned that you were on Fear Factor, and I want to say you were on there. Was it six seasons?
Six episodes on Fear Factor. Yes. That was an interesting.
Talk to me about that experience. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I had a good friend at the time who went to interview and audition. This was a big show back in like 2003, four, you know, back in those years. I didn't really know much about it, the show, because to be honest, I'd never really seen anybody of color on there. Not, you know, I never really seen anybody that looks like me on that show. So it just wasn't a show of mine. And being ex-military, I'd done a lot of that stuff, jumping out of helicopters and, you know, adventurous stuff. And a friend stopped by. She said, Andre, we're going to be on this TV show. It's called Fear Factor. And I was like, what? So in support of her, I went down with her to this audition. She had went with her girlfriend, but they did not like her girlfriend. They liked her. And they asked her, do you have anybody else you could be on the show with? We think you'd be good for this couple's Fear Factor. And it's for $1 million. So I think I was more interested in trying to get that $1 million than the show. When she said $1 million, I was interested. And so we go down there. We go through multiple interviews, D, just on and on. And I'm like six or seven interviews. I'm like, why do they keep bothering me? I just thought it would be over.
Right.
But anyway, they selected us as the process went on. I said, I think we're going to get this opportunity. And so what made that so special was it was 7 weeks for the $1 million prize, Couples Fear Factor. And most of their shows was, you know, the contestants just did one episode. So right. 14 million people were watching this show every Monday night. And it was something. I had people calling me from, hey, I'm watching your show right now. And right. it was so cool. And from that show, that transition, I got a call one day from someone that said, this is Amy from Bravo, and I think you'd be good for my show. It's a workout show with fitness. So it's just amazing how being at the right place at the right time and being ready. I tell people this all the time. You know, don't complain when you're not having the opportunities that you feel you deserve. Be ready when the opportunity comes.
Right.
Be ready.
That's right. So how do you feel that, I guess, your performances on television, how has that, you know, assisted you or impacted your ability to be successful in real estate?
Visibility. And for some strange reason, T, I often get, you look like this guy from the Show Me the Money movie, Cuba Gooding Jr.
Right.
I don't get it. But sometimes that's a tie-in. And once, you know, someone mentions that and you get into a conversation, oftentimes it's going to, you know, lead down to real estate. So what do you do?
Yeah.
And I brand it up, you know, when I go out, car wash or whatever, what do you do? Oh, I'm a realtor with Sotheby's and, you know, I'm always up for a conversation.
Now, what's your specialty?
I still, even to this day, people recognize me from Fear Factor. And then you were on that workout show.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me how being on TV has such an effect on people when it was really just my calling and my destiny. I was in a place, in a position that God put me where I was supposed to be.
So what is your area of specialization in real estate Do you focus on commercial, residential, combination of the two?
Residential out in the San Fernando Valley, but we also go into Beverly Hills, but Los Angeles, greater Los Angeles area, and specifically San Fernando Valley is my area. And I'm looking forward to, as a veteran, doing, I would really love to do multiple VA loans to help prior military to get homes, first-time buyers. That's something that is really drives me. So I'm really looking forward to, you know, doing that.
So what is it that you like most about being in the real estate industry?
You have freedom, unlimited income, and I just still get to be the people person that I love being.
So what's next for you? What do you see yourself, you know, doing, either expanding your real estate career, or what's the next move?
I don't know. Right now, I think I really want to be a strong representative in this field, in this business, because I just, throughout the years, I look back and I think, why isn't there more representation in that business, that particular business, which is very lucrative? Why isn't there more representation of people that look like me? And I want to kind of, you know, take that, maybe become a mentor to others, and to just continue to try to build.
Sure. So in your life, who would you say have been most inspirational over the years to support your successful journey?
My mother, and, you know, she started this thing, and, you know, back at, you know, Clark College, and I think a lot of my life that I've been able to live and share and travel all over the world, this was really kind of like the life my, you know, mom should have probably had. So that's motivational for me too. I'm just kind of almost like carrying her legacy and almost like living the life that I think, if it wasn't for like a different time and period, she would have these experiences of travel and you know, just not being limited to one particular area.
Right. And so is your mom still in Greenville?
She is. Yes.
So coming from Greenville, South Carolina, and now being in the position that you're in now, you know, global real estate advisor, having the ability to travel and do all these things that you didn't have the opportunity to do as a kid, what are you doing, or how do you think that you can take your success and inspire or pull others along that may be from your community or that you may interact with that are trying to become successful?
I want to be an example. I want to be an example, and I always like try to, you know, give advice and seek out opportunities to make myself available when someone may want to ask a question or want information, but they're not confident or comfortable sharing. You know, usually I'm able to identify that, and I'll say like, "Hey, how's it going?" and do that kind of introduction to kind of get the ball rolling. But I do want to continue to be an example, and, you know, just continue to kind of broaden my, you know, horizons to, you know, whatever comes to me in the future, just be available to take it on.
So when your mom see your journey and see where you are now, how does she feel or respond to all of your success?
I think she's very proud, and, you know, there's so many reminders that, you know, back home or, you know, with social media now, people share, "Oh, I saw Andre doing this," or "I saw Andre, he sold this house," or "he did that." So she gets, I think, constant reminders, whether she knows what's going on in my life fully from people in the neighborhood and the surrounding areas. They call her or stop by and they let her know what's going on with me. And sometimes that's good, or it can be good and bad, because there's a couple of times I've been out of the country and she didn't know. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm sorry. I'm in Columbia. And that's not Columbia, South Carolina.
Hey, so just to wind the show down in about 20, 30 seconds, what do you want your legacy to be?
I really would like for my legacy, hardworking, determined, risk taker, who just wanted to do good in the world. Now, my grandmother always just wanted to do good in the world. Even when she did not have, she would still give. And that's basically me in a nutshell. What, you know, being helpful.
I think that's a noble cause and a noble attitude to have. I want to take the time, Andre, to thank you so much for being on the program. We're out of time for this particular episode, but I want to thank my viewers also for watching this episode of Self-Made with D. Brown, CEO. And remember, without you, there's no me.